You are listening to Junctions and Sidetracks, the story behind the creation of Empire Builder, a musical about a time-traveling train. Conversations about family, history, race, and forgiveness. Music by George Maurer. Libretto by Anne Bertram. Episode 12, Act 1, Part 2.
Hello again. We're your hosts, composer George Maurer, and
this is librettist Anne Bertram.
We continue on with this final episode of Junctions and Sidetracks to hear the rest of a workshop version of Act 1 of our musical Empire Builder. Stay tuned for Act 2 and 10 more episodes of Junctions and Sidetracks coming your way in the fall of 2018.
Dr. Holder gathers up her belongings and leaves the train car. Jimmy watches her go. Then he starts banging his head against the back of the seat in front of him.
Hey. Whoa. Hey, come on.
Oh, I screwed it up. I screwed it up.
Stop that.
I screwed it up. I screwed it up. Totally, utterly screwed it up.
You're going to screw up your frontal lobes if you don't stop that.
I screw everything up.
The lady didn't feel like talking. You know, that's not your fault. You didn't screw up. You've got to stop that now. Good man. My name's Sky. Sky Wolf.
Jim Masterson. Call me Jimmy. Sky, huh? Your parents hippies or something?
Indians.
Really? That's cool. Where are you headed, Sky?
Cutbank, Montana.
The Montana High Line.
Say what?
Northernmost line of the Burlington Northern in Santa Fe. Burlington Northern, originally the Great Northern, brainchild of James J. Hill, known in his day as the Empire Builder, hence the train line Empire Builder. Crosses the Continental Divide at the Marias Pass, discovered by survey engineer John F. Stevens. Like, that's actually interesting. Shut up, Jim. I'm shutting up now.
Man, I could have used you in 1889.
Okay.
Tell me about John F. Stevens. You know, how did he discover the pass?
Well, he started out with an Indian guide, but he ditched him partway. The guide did. Ditched John F. Stevens. Just sort of sat down in the snow, built himself a fire, and said, have a nice life.
Why?
I don't know. Why does anyone ditch?
I don't know. Why do they?
I don't know. Maybe his feet hurt. Weather started to suck in some exceptionally sucky way. Maybe John F. Stevens reeked or something? I don't know. People hit their limits.
Yeah, I guess.
Hit them or get pushed.
Where are you headed?
Oh, end of the line. Seattle.
What's in Seattle?
Oh, Seattle doesn't even matter. Seattle is not really the destination. The journey is the destination. You know, being totally present in the moment, blah, 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 whatever. What's in Cutbank, Montana?
The reservation.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Or not. If you don't feel like talking, that's cool too.
Now, I haven't been back since I was 9. You know, I grew up in foster care. My parents died when I was little, and my grandfather had me for a little while, but then he, well, I guess he hit his limit.
Jeez. I mean, well, that's, I don't even, oh.
No, it's okay. I don't look back.
Next stop, 1919!
The lights, sound quality, and atmosphere change again. Both Sky and Jimmy are aware of it.
The hell?
Yeah, it's kind of this weird thing.
Connect here for an unwelcome welcome. A long walk, and the reason you're not home on the range.
I repeat, the hell?
The connections may sound kind of deep and mysterious, but they actually turn out to be oddly literal.
Well, alrighty then.
Come on.
Sky leads Jimmy out of the train into 1919. On the platform in Cutbank in May of 1919, Women are waiting for the train bringing the soldiers home. They wave flags as the train pulls in and the soldiers begin to disembark. Jimmy, she runs to him, throws her arms around him, and covers him with kisses.
Oh, Isaac! Welcome home!
Thanks, sweetheart. I think I like it here. how have you been?
Oh, can't complain.
Hey, is it really a crime to speak German?
What kind of a question is that? Of course it is. Let's go home. I brought the buggy.
Oh, cool. But hey, wait, what about my friend here?
Hello, Russell.
Hello.
Is Martha coming for you?
I don't know.
Let's wait. We can wait with them. And since we're waiting, if you don't mind, I'm just gonna... That engine looks like a Class K Atlantic. Oh my God, it's pristine. Talk amongst yourselves.
Isaac! Wait, don't... He loves trains.
Yeah, he does love trains.
Russell, you do understand. It was strictly business.
What was?
Oh, no. Didn't Martha I was so sure she wrote to you. I can't believe she didn't write. Oh, no.
Break it to me.
It was just that yields were so low, you see. If we had to get by with the acreage we had, we would have lost the farm. And Martha all by herself, she just couldn't cope with your place.
So you bought it?
Yes.
I expect you got a really good deal.
I was afraid you'd take it this way.
How good a deal did you get?
Russell, I don't...
How much did you pay?
$9 an acre. Isaac! Dinner will get cold, honey.
Just a minute. They're taking on water.
Forget about the water. We're leaving.
He goes back to the door of the train car, which is shut tight. He pounds on it.
Hey!
What's the trubs?
Ruin all around us. Famine and food. We saw a way out. What exactly would you have us do? If we hadn't done it, someone else would. Nothing was bound to happen. Carp all you want. It won't do any good. If we hadn't done it, someone else would. Someone else would. We can be forgiven.
You think you can be forgiven?
We can be forgiven.
You think you can be forgiven? Come on!
Martha needed the cash. We were helping her.
Which, what?
While you and I were overseas, Isaac, this lady's family got a real steal. My Martha signed away our land for pennies on the dollar.
Russell, let us give you a lift out to your ma's place, please.
No thanks.
Ride with us and let's talk about it.
There's nothing to talk about.
Maybe we can come to some arrangement. We need hands.
No thanks. I'll walk.
25 miles? Don't be silly.
Oh, 25 miles. 25 miles home from the depot. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know how this goes. I'll walk. I will indeed walk.
Isaac, make him see sense.
You want strictly business. Let's keep it that way. Don't cry for forgiveness. You did what you did. So just own it, okay?
If we hadn't done it, someone else would.
No sale.
The thing was bound to happen.
Not so.
Carp all you want. It won't do any good.
So you say.
If we hadn't done it, someone else would. Someone else would.
Oh, no way, no way. You can't pretend it's okay.
All right, you're angry. Maybe you have a right to be.
I'd say, yeah, he has a right to be.
But whatever you feel, whatever you think about us, at least let us give you a ride. Russell?
I will walk.
Are you sure? Because
I am compelled to walk.
Empire Builder! All aboard!
Train car door opens. Sky plunges inside. After a moment's hesitation, Jimmy follows him.
What was that?
Nothing.
Dude, you're shaking.
I don't like these stops.
What got you? I mean, the whole real estate thing was kind of gross,
Real estate thing was absolutely typical. There were thousands of land deals just like that around this time. You know, a lot of white farmers took advantage, fallout from the Dawes Act. The Dawes Act that took control of reservation land away from the tribes.
Oh, right, that Dawes Act.
I trace title on Indian land. That's my job. My little attempt to reclaim the lost.
Okay, social outrage, I get it, but you seem like you're taking it kind of personal.
Russell Medicine Wolf was my great-grandfather. He walked 25 miles home from the depot when he came home from the war. I mean, that's basically all I know about him. That was a story everybody always told. And they never said why. I always thought, you know, maybe he was just really tough or really poor.
Well, I guess he was really poor.
Yeah, he was. He lived the rest of his life in his mother's house. You could see daylight through the boards. That was where my grandfather grew up. You see, we were stuck in 1919 till we lived through it. Till I made the decision he did.
Dr. Holder returns to the train car. Long pause.
There are a lot of fussy infants on this train. I think I owe you an apology.
Nah, that's okay.
No, it's not okay. You were trying to explore a serious subject and I dismissed you. I'm sorry.
Apology accepted.
Thank you. Now, I understand that you were curious about the rationale behind affirmative action.
Not really.
Not really.
I mean, it kind of turned into that, but no, not really.
Naturally not.
I was just trying to make conversation. To make it a good train ride, I just need this to be a really good train ride.
Just like back in the good old days when everything was hunky-dory.
Okay, see, this is... okay. Hey, have you two met? This is Sky.
Sky Wolf, National Native Law Center, Washington, D.C.
Dr. Beatrice Holder, University of Chicago, Department of Sociology. You know, I have a confession. I never did catch your name.
Jim Masterson, between jobs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It happens.
I'm not normally so snappish. I'm on an errand that has me feeling a little divided.
She takes a railroad watch from her pocket.
Wow. Is that an Elgin?
It is.
It's beautiful. That is beautiful. Railroad watch, the most accurate there was. All the engineers and conductors had them.
Yeah, it belonged to my daddy. His daddy gave it to him. He gave it to me. They were some strong human beings. Going home to give it to my nephew.
That's beautiful, too.
It is, I guess.
Can I?
Dr. Holder lets Jimmy hold the watch.
That is really something. Thank you.
He gives it back.
Why are you feeling divided? Oh,
I got a job offer. An old friend from graduate school runs a market research firm. The pay is wonderfully obscene. I won't be teaching, or publishing, or speaking. I'll just be making a whole lot of money for myself. In a workplace where if someone uses the phrase post-racial society, I can tell them to go jump off a cliff without getting censored by the provost, or hit with a lawsuit. Anyhow, I'm giving this to my nephew because I can't carry it anymore.
Well, you're going to walk away from a faculty position at the University of Chicago?
Don't you start.
Well, I'm always curious why people choose to abandon certain things.
You want to know what I'm abandoning? Just picture this. A gathering of brilliant intellectuals from all of the nation's top-ranked universities, all spoiling to start squabbling over speculative numbers and quibbling over endless picayunities. Ballrooms full of egos, full of misbegotten theories, festooned with carnivorous smiles, forgetting that to anyone outside we're mere eccentrics, digging through dusty old files, digging through dusty old files. All set out to strike a blow for social justice, establish truth and change the world, and all of that pursuing the profession. profession tends to temper one's ambition. Establish truth. Consider the sheer gall of that. Classrooms full of students feeling totally entitled. Committees that drag on like trials. And conferences where I share minutiae.
So there's no point in looking back. So there's no hope in some new fact that changes everything you thought you knew. So there's nothing to learn and nothing to do.
A long time ago I ceased to expect to correct any major societal defect. Sometimes, rarely, I could manage to connect. I change somebody's mind, or else somebody changes mine. A moment of expansion and humility. A student asks a question, and then other students listen. Attention, conversation, and civility. A whisper from the ancestors who spent so long in silence and walked all those rocky old miles emerges from the faded words I find in basement archives.
A very rare thing.
But keep moving on. Don't look back.
The lights, sound quality, and atmosphere change yet again. Sky, Jimmy, and Dr. Holder are all aware of it.
Next stop, 1944!
What in the world?
It's this train. It's special. You could say it's a special train. Like anyone gets that joke. Shut up, Jim. I'm shutting up now.
I get it.
Cool.
It's not much of a joke, but I get it.
Connect here for a gleam of light in the darkness and an encounter with Grandpa.
Sky pulls the emergency cord to stop the train.
Ladies and gentlemen, the westbound Empire Builder has come to an unscheduled stop in an unknown location. Estimated time of departure is unknown. Will the passenger who pulled the cord please meet me out in front by the engine? Thank you.
You want back up?
No. I'm going to get some answers.
Sky exits the train car into an all-occluding hissing cloud of steam. It gradually clears, revealing the conductor.
Are you the party who pulled the cord, sir?
Yes.
What's the trouble?
Explain these stops to me. 1889, 1919... 1944?
It's all right here in the timetable. 1944, 1966, 1976.
No. Oh, no, absolutely not. If that's where we're headed, I'm getting off right here.
It's up to you, sir, of course. But you should be aware, other forms of transit don't often come out this way. If you get off here, plan to stay a good long while.
Those are my choices. Nowhere North Dakota or 1944 and 1966.
And 1976.
Why?
It's the only way forward.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
I'm supposed to learn the true meaning of Christmas. Is that the idea?
It's August, sir.
I'm supposed to see generations of dispossession. I'm supposed to understand that Grandfather had all of that weighing down on him, and therefore he couldn't help giving me up. This may come to you as a shock, but I know all that. I spent all day up to my eyebrows in the wholesale theft of land that made America, okay? None of this is news to me, and none of it excuses what he did. Now, I maintain that we all have choices, no matter how hard we're pressed. Everyone's accountable. There's no free pass because you did your best. I know there's entrenched injustice and pain you cannot run. But if you really give a damn, you buckle down. You do what has to be done. Sooner or later, one way or the other, sooner or later we all face the facts. Don't shoot the messenger. Don't blame your mother. Sooner or later, you're judged by your acts.
Well, sir, judgment isn't really my department. For that matter, neither is Christmas. But if I may offer an observation, if there is nothing new for you at any of our stops, then surely there's nothing for you to be afraid of.
Afraid of?
You pulled the emergency cord, sir. In my experience, that usually correlates with fear of some kind.
I'm not afraid of any of your freakish stops. I just don't like them.
1944 is next. When you're ready, just pull the cord.
There's another cloud of steam. End of Act One.
You've been listening to Junctions and Sidetracks, the story behind the creation of Empire Builder, a musical about a time-traveling train. Junctions and Sidetracks is an original radio series conceptualized by George Maurer and Ann Bertram and created by George Maurer for KBEM-FM, Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. Sound designed and edited by George Maurer. All music, unless otherwise noted, composed and performed by George Maurer and friends. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/junctionsandsidetracks. You can email us at empirebuilder1889@gmail.com. That's empirebuilder1889, one word, @gmail.com. Studio mix is by Justice Sanchez. The executive producer is Michelle Jansen.
Stay tuned for season 2 of Junctions and Sidetracks, where we take a look at Empire Builder Act 2.
Junctions and Sidetracks is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund.